kind of philosophy side of things. Can someone just summarize what his main point was? Anyone have a good way to sum up what he was saying? Yeah.
He said God will not declare anyone justified unless they are actually justified.
Yeah, that's... Right, and I think what his point was there was that the Roman Catholic view of justification is that you're not justified until you are actually righteous, which then you're not justified until you go through purgatory to make you actually righteous yourself, rather than being declared the unrighteous being declared righteous by through faith and by the blood of Christ. That's the contrast, right? So between the Catholic view and what the reformers were fighting for. That's a big deal. That's really what the whole point was, the whole fight was, right? Does anybody have any questions about that? Is that clear? It was hard to really follow him a little bit. Yeah. Yes. It depends on the type of sins that you've committed in your life and what state of sin you were in. And I can't remember all the terminology. Is there any former Catholics in here who are really familiar with Catholic theology? Yes. Yeah, they have different classifications of sin. Yes. Yes. So in the Catholic system, they categorize sins by how egregious they are, right? So the lowest level is what? Venial? Venial sins are the lowest. Then there's what? Cardinal sins? And mortal sins. Ordinal sins. Okay. Okay. You're done. Okay. So you commit a mortal sin. Examples. Yeah. 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 And so to lessen your time in purgatory, you have to do good works to pay for it. You have to go to confession. You have to do Hail Marys, you have to penance, stuff like that to lessen your time in purgatory, hopefully, right? And then you pray for your relatives who are in purgatory now to try to lessen their time, and that's what the whole sale of indulgences was about, right? You pay the church and the Pope can basically less shorten their sentence in purgatory kind of deal, right? That's the whole idea. Yes. I actually have no idea. Yeah. So all those things, confession, penance. Oh, is that right? Okay. Penance, okay. So to pay for the mortal sins. But if you die in a state of mortal sin, that's why they do the last rites, right? To make sure that they covered everything they could before you died. And Yeah. So, yes.
So, if they make it to purgatory, they're automatically eventually going to get to heaven?
Yes, it just...
I mean,
yeah, no, right. Yes, yes, because purgatory is purifying you. And so it just depends on how many unconfessed sins, how much, you know, how much you've built up. Purgatory is like an in-between. It's hell is hopeless. Purgatory is basically preparing you for heaven. Just to be clear, there's no such thing as purgatory. This is not a real thing. This is a made-up Catholic doctrine. So this would be, too, like people who have never heard the gospel, they believe would go to purgatory, right? Good people who never heard.
Limbo.
See, I always thought you did that I just thought you did that at a luau or something.
Somebody that's not baptized would go to limbo.
Okay.
Which is a state of perfect happiness, but it's not heaven.
Huh. Wow, okay. So you see, when you start getting away from Scripture and you start making up stuff, then you have to make up stuff to cover up stuff and then to fix stuff, and you have to come up with this whole complex system of things that is not even real. And the whole time it's running away from the true place of justification, which is at the cross by faith alone in Christ. You see how that liberates you from all of that garbage. What was the other thing? With regard to, so the indulgences, the saints. The saints are people who basically did more good than bad, and they have extra merit, right? They have extra merit, and there's these treasuries of merit, and that's part of what you're praying, is that, right? Isn't that how that goes? The indulgences release some of the merit of the saints to be given to your, to the account of your relatives in purgatory. And that's, so you have all these elaborate systems. Yes. Kennedy, really? Wow. Yeah. So they said Jack Kennedy was a saint. Is that right?
Because they paid the Roman church so much money.
They paid enough off to make him a saint. Wow.
Yeah.
You know? It's not an equal world, is it? Huh. There's no one praying for the person in purgatory? It just takes them a long time. Yeah, it just takes them a long time to burn off that sin. That's, you know, in the Catholic system. What were you going to say? Yes. Yes. Yep, that's right. Yeah. Yes. No. Good Catholics go to confession. When you say you're a good Catholic, yeah. But that's why a lot of them live however they want, and then they go to confession on Sunday and feel like it's all good, right? So, Saturday. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, yeah. But the thing is, and you know, we should have. It should make us angry and compassionate, because there's a blindness. And the thing is, too, is that all of these systems, and this is the tendency of mankind, is you have to do something with your guilt. You have to do something with your sin. And people like to have something to do, to pay for it. And so all false religion is, to some extent, tries to solve for your guilt. And you see them coming up with these elaborate systems, and it sends them down this rabbit chase, you know, this wild goose chase of doing all these rituals and stuff, trying to make sure you're right. And Christ is over here and you're wandering around chasing your tail on all of these things when the true Savior is so simple and it's right there. Yes. Yeah, that if you go to, you have to confess it to a priest, and the priest has the power to absolve you. He doesn't, but they pretend to. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a superstition. Even the priest in the Old Testament didn't have that power. So, but it's a bit, it's a huge false system of control, and it's man-centered, and it's sad.
Church on Sundays, and I felt bad because we had all these candles set up on the altar. You had to pay so much money to light a candle, and if you lit a candle, that would help one of your relatives move more quickly in purgatory or out. But I have a question, Carl. I'm not picking on you specifically, but when I was going to the Catholic Church, one thing that I just went straight over my head is we never read the Bible.
Yeah.
Never. And you had to depend on what the priest would say. You would read one verse. But one of my concerns when I was still a Catholic, Christ is coming again. Do the Catholics believe that he's coming again? And if he comes too soon and you're in purgatory and you haven't slept all your time, what happens to you? I'm not making a mockery of this. I mean, so many questions. Like Lauren was saying, the uncertainty is incredible.
Yeah.
The real tragedy, and we need to pray as a church, is the Catholic Church now is growing.
Yeah. And a lot of evangelicals are actively evangelizing evangelicals. So basically tell them to come back home is the way they're kind of putting it. Come back home, you know. The Catholic Church is the true church, and you need to come back home. Yeah. It's P-E-N-N-A-N-C-E, penance. And that's basically you punish yourself or do certain good deeds. Hail Marys, right? Is that doing penance? Our Father, saying a certain number of things. Whipping yourself, that's kind of the extreme end of it, right? Is a lot of these monks would to do penance for their sins, which is what Martin Luther would do. He would whip himself to try to pay for his sins. That kind of thing. So, you know, and truthfully, I think we're all tempted to do that to punish yourself, to make up for your sin. You know, you do something bad, now I got to do a certain amount of good things to make up for it. Rather, and essentially Catholicism and Mormonism, and they have just, it's just a very elaborate system of trying to pay for your own sin. Yes. Yeah. Well, they usually don't, but some of them, when they do, they get saved. but otherwise, there's a lot of people that read the Bible, but the veil is still over their eyes. That, you know, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 4, that God has to open their blind eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Christ. And none of us will see it, even if we're in this church, none of us will see it unless the Lord lifts that veil. Yes. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. You were doing penance.
Yeah, but I didn't know I was.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, that what's great about that, amazing, is first of all, if we really understood how much we sinned and how bad we sinned, we would realize how useless our own efforts are to overcome it. We never could overcome it. But Christ is mighty, powerful, and His death was enough. And that all you have to do is to believe in Him. And your sins are forgiven. You are cleansed. You don't have to punish yourself. Now you need to turn from your sin, you know, because true faith results in you following Christ. So you're turning from that to follow Him. But that's not what, you don't earn forgiveness for yourself by repenting. It's by faith alone. That's the amazing freeing doctrine of justification. Yes. Yeah.
And then it says, because in forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed, in the end, making Him the both the just and the justifier.
Yes.
All on God's lap.
That's right.
Not on our lap.
That's right. Amen. And isn't that amazing when you realize the bondage and the slavery that we're tempted by, and that mankind has made so many systems to enslave us? They're under, I mean, they're in, you know, religion is evil. It's an attempt to reject the righteousness of God as He has revealed it in Christ. That's what man-made religion is. It's men darkened in their understanding, and but we have been set free by the blood of Christ. And yes. Yeah, right. He swears by himself. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So what Matt's saying in Genesis, when God made the covenant with Abraham, He made the way they make a covenant is they took a few different animals and they cut them in half and let the blood of the animals drain sort of into a little channel. And then the two parties making the covenant would walk between those animals, and, you know, with the blood on their feet. And basically the point was, if I break my covenant with you, you can do to me what we've done to these animals. That's basically the point of this. And when God made the covenant with Abraham, only God passed through. Abraham did not pass through. So it's completely on the Lord to do this, and it's not upon our own righteousness. Yes. I'm sorry? He did. Yep. And he said basically he was the best monk of all time, basically, is the way he talked, you know, he said about himself, is he worked harder than anybody to be the best Catholic he could be. Exactly. What he started to do was studying the Bible and came across the doctrine of justification by faith and began to realize all these things about indulgences and, you know, going to the Pope for, you know, as though the Pope has any power over your soul, and as any priest, no priest can forgive you. No good works that you do can forgive you. None of this penance stuff. Purgatory is a made up thing. He starts to realize this as he's studying. And that's basically, he starts disputing it in the 95 theses that he nailed onto the door in Wittenberg. And that's what started it all. That's not what started it all, but that's what started the Reformation at that time. Yes. Go ahead. No, those are good questions. That's all right. Hey, if you have more questions, go ahead and come on up and we can talk more, okay? By the way, we've printed a whole bunch of these. Carl and Ruth Raulman printed off a bunch of these, and these are the 95 Theses, and they're on that table as you exit into the foyer. So I would encourage you guys as you continue to think through this and just pay attention to these things. I mean, it's great to talk through this stuff and really to celebrate. When we celebrate the Reformation, we're not celebrating Martin Luther or a particular church or some historical event. We're really celebrating the doctrine of justification by faith. And it's really worth celebrating. And it's actually what we celebrate every time we take communion, every time we're together. I mean, it's everything.